Sudan's government was condemned earlier this year for permitting slavery, even though it's been illegal there for nearly 80 years. An international commission said Sudan's military government arms Muslim raiders who steal women and children from southern Sudan and trade or sell them into slavery. The government denies that any slaves are held. A leading voice in the anti-slavery movement is Francis Bach, a former slave, now living in the United States. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams reports.
Francis Bach comes from the Dinka tribe of southern Sudan. The 6'6", 23-year-old has a ready smile and large, friendly eyes. It's hard to imagine he spent much of his life in the desperate condition of a slave. Slavery is defined as forced labor under threat of violence. Francis Bach says an estimated 27 million people in the world now live, as he did, as slaves. In an amazing life's journey, Bach is now transformed into a spokesman for a modern-day group of abolitionists, the American Anti-Slavery Group. He has appeared on television news shows and told his story in newspapers to raise America's awareness that slavery is not a historical artifact, but a 21st century reality. Here he is testifying on Capitol Hill.
I am proud to speak here today, because I speak for my people, and my people are being slaves.
Bach's remarks brought this response from North Carolina Republican Senator Jesse Helms.
I guarantee you there are people who care in this room and in this country.
On a bright, hot day in 1986, 7-year-old Francis Bach was sent by his mother to the marketplace. While there, he smelled smoke and saw black clouds rising from fires set in nearby villages. It was too late when he realized that radical Muslim raiders who burned the villages were now in the market. The raiders on horseback swung swords to chop off heads and kill the men. Then they grabbed women and children as their prisoners. Francis Bach was tied to a donkey and taken to the country's north. Vicious beatings and threats of being killed kept Bach in slavery for 7 years before his first attempt at escape.
When I reached the age of 14 years old, I first decided to escape. And I failed the first, you know, I get beaten, and he told me, if you try it again, we're going to kill you. But in my heart, I still want to go away. I would rather die than be a slave, because I hate the way they treat me. And I made it a second time, that I got recaptured again from him. And he beat me a lot, and that day he scared me, you know. He said, tonight's going to be your last day. And I just took a moment while he talked to me, and I closed my eye and I asked God, you know, I said, God, please don't let him kill me.
The slave master's beatings left him bloody but not dead. 3 years later, at age 17, he tried to escape again, this time with the help of a truck driver. Once free, Bach rode a boat on the Nile River to reach Egypt and the United Nations Refugee Office. He told them he'd go anywhere. He was sent to Fargo, North Dakota, in August of 1999. Lutheran Social Services helped him adjust to a cold, alien setting far from Africa. A year later, Bach, who had never attended school, moved to Ames, Iowa to work there in a meatpacking plant. Then fate touched him again, this time with a phone call from Boston.
One day I got a call from Charles Jacobs. He's the president of the American Anti-Slavery Group, and he asked me that I would move to join the organization. I refused to talk to him the first time when he called me, because I told him that I'm free, I'm not enslaved anymore, I'm making money now, and I get to go to school, you know, someday. And he said that we want you to be a voice of your people, to tell your own story, what you've been to.
Bach decided to become a full-time abolitionist. He's paid $20,000 a year and makes speeches to school groups for about $500 apiece. He makes about 100 speeches a year. And he recently signed a book deal worth more than $100,000 to tell his story of modern slavery. Bach's appearance before Congress created new prominence for him as an advisor to pop culture figures, such as NBA players and rock stars. Lead singer of heavy metal band Jane's Addiction, Perry Farrell, asked Bach to appear on stage at one of the band's concerts near Los Angeles and speak about the horrors of modern slavery.
Francis comes from Sudan, where they take people from the towns and they bring them into slavery. And if you think I'm kidding you, you can ask my friend Francis. Here you are, man.
And recently, Bach wrote a letter to Britney Spears, the pop music idol, to ask her why she has a song with a title that is deeply disturbing to him, I'm a Slave for You. I'm a slave for you. Here we go now. I can't hold it. Bach wrote to Spears, quote, "When you sing I'm a slave for you, I know you don't mean any harm. You probably don't know that millions of people, many of them kids our age, are enslaved around the world," end quote. He asked Spears to become a voice to educate her fans. Bach has used his own voice to reach out to music fans. Zero Church, a recent album by folk singers Susie and Maggie Roach, features a prayer written and read by Francis, which they then set to music.
"We thank you, Lord, for having gathered and guided your people of Southern Sudan from the suffering and torture in your country to a land of freedom. I thank you particularly for freeing me from the bondage of
slavery." Meanwhile, the slave trade continues in Sudan. The military rulers once hosted Osama bin Laden as their guest and received the wrath of a U.S. cruise missile on a factory suspected to have terrorism ties in 1998. But bin Laden was expelled, and Sudan has shown some signs of cooperation in the war on terrorism. Francis Bach believes public pressure one day will triumph, and no more little boys or girls will find themselves stolen from family and friends to live life being called a bead or slave. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.